Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
No commercials.
That's great.
No coffee runs.
That's great in the mornings.
Can't go to the bathroom.
I think commercial-free hours are a great idea.
Yeah, well,
in the mornings.
You hear a lot of raw pressers in the 9 o'clock hour. You actually don't. I would like to say what I have accomplished in this 9 o'clock hour to not have commercials and to still put out a somewhat worthy product in this hour should be commended.
Somewhat worthy.
I mean, I'm bouncing between.
What kind of commendation do you want? You said it should be commended. What kind of commendation do you want?
I just want recognition.
What would be good for you?
I just want recognition that probably of all the people that would be tasked with this situation, I handle and can handle it the best.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Yep.
Right.
Did you get what you were looking for there?
I actually did. I don't need a lot of pats on the back. I just need someone to like motion that they're going to pat on my back.
Sure.
I don't need a lot of praise, but very little I do.
Well, I just gave it to you.
Well, thank you.
That's
Rami Makloff of Rami and Tim. So that's the promo for the 9 o'clock commercial-free hour, which Rami is in studio, and he'll talk when he feels like it. But we have the other half of that show, Rami and Tim. We have the Tim Allen version with us as well. This is quite a treat for me. Now,
yeah,
this is
great. I heard you guys talking, and I was just thinking to myself, I wonder if like the Big Show would be able to handle, or would they need more resources to get through a commercial-free hour than their 15 people on the show? I just wonder about that.
That's a fair question.
I think they would find that challenge. They'd probably have to borrow Ryan Horvath to get through that hour, I think.
Yeah, Rami, you have any comments on this?
I love the Big Show.
Yeah, you
Those
used to be
guys.
On.
I do too.
That's where I grew up.
Then you bolted to Minnesota.
Yeah, and then they didn't welcome me back.
And that didn't work out very good.
I mean, it was working out fine, and then a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah, I think the pandemic is an excuse for a lot of businesses out there. Oh, yeah, the pandemic. You're fired. Anyway, Tim, let's talk some hot stove. I want to warm people up. I invented this yesterday. It's cold out, so I want to warm people up with Brewers talk.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk some Brewers, because my approach to this team, I would think, is a little uncharacteristic of what my approach has been to the other teams lately and the Brewers the last few years. I want a championship desperately. I need one. I'm dying for one. I'm craving one in every single way. With this Brewers team, I was going to give them a pass pandemic-wise because they don't have a lot of money. I get that, you know, resources and no fans. So I said, all right, I mean, I'm going to get excited for it. I'll watch it. Whatever. I look a little more at this team. There was a segment I was going to do to highlight how bad the roster was. And then when I was looking at the roster, I thought, this position's actually pretty good. And I mean, if that guy hits better, and wow, the pitchers, the relievers. And I talked myself into about 82 wins. And I think I'm somewhere in the 85 range. I think what I like about this season is I'm going to come into it without a championship or bust mentality. because that's what the team's coming into it with. Now, I did hear Woodruff the other day say the words World mm-hmm. Series, which I was like taken aback by when I heard him say that. It was cool. I want them to, I'm going to root this season for them to win the Central. And then whatever happens after that, even if they get in as a wild card, if they just get into the dance. And I was talking to our goodest of buddies, Paul Emig, yesterday about this too. When the Brewers, the Packers and the Bucks are at like a spot right now where it's not as enjoyable as a fan. Like Tim, who had more fun this year? Packers fans or Browns fans?
Yeah, I mean, that's relative to,
there was less expectation.
You're into it, and expectations are a good thing.
But for the Brewers, I'm going to have more fun with this team than I think I am rooting for the Bucks this year and rooting for the Packers, because as a fan, the Brewers winning a championship is not going to be life or death for me. But there is still a very attainable goal, and if they reach that goal, there's a version of this Brewers team, Tim, that can be pretty special, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And it begs the question, you talk about winning the championship, winning the World Series, and imagine if you would, the hierarchy, Stearns and Arnold and these guys, had they had prospects to kind of hang their hat on a little bit and lean on them. See, what they're doing now, and we brought this up with Adam McAlvey yesterday, and that is, you take a look around the diamond, a projected starting lineup. If you account for Kane really not being in the organization, homegrown by definition, he's really not, because, he left and then he came back or whatever. If you discount that, there's only two position player group guys in Keston Hira and Orlando Arcia that are homegrown. Now, the pitching side, a little bit different. Adam astutely pointed that out, that Woody and Burns and some of these guys are homegrown. However, Hader's not. Hauser's not. Brett Anderson's not. Lindblom's not. Boxberger's not. All of these guys. Imagine, if you would, that they get just a little help from their player development department. I'm not hammering these guys. It's clear to see that what they're doing is even more extraordinary by putting these things together with a limited budget and competing the way they are. But again, guys, Corey Ray, the fifth overall, it's going to take 6 years, 7 years. That's a miss. The Bryce Terangs, Tristan Lutz, Lucas Ursegs, all of these guys, where is the help outside of Keston Hira? And then many years ago, Orlando Arcia. I mean, have you thought of it that way, Bart, that what they're doing is even more special when they don't get help from the prospect side of things?
Well, they had a guy, Tim. We were talking about this earlier, because it's like the most I ever see Sam Schmitz get fired up is the Trent Grisham trade. You traded Trent Grisham. He was your guy like that, and you traded him away.
Because he played Kevin King for one play.
Yeah, they really traded him because of one play, that is stupid.
It would be really stupid.
Because
he hauls off and wins a Gold Glove immediately. He's a catalyst in that Padre lineup. This one might have a little egg on Stern's face.
The thing that bothers me the most about the Grisham trade, and it's important because Zach Davies is now with the Cubs, and we get Eric Lauer, who is not guaranteed a starting spot, and we get Urias, who in spring training, he will be the everyday shortstop in spring training,
mm-hmm.
from what I got from counsel, because they know what Arcia is, so they need to see what this guy is. And we're going to find out. We're going to really find out. We could find out in 6 weeks if this trade was a complete and utter failure, if it doesn't work for him at shortstop. But I do think, because of the, sunken cost theory, they're going to give him every opportunity they can to make sure that trade wasn't a failure if it doesn't work out, instead of moving on quickly. So I do think he's going to get a pretty long leash to figure it out both defensively and at the plate at short. But with Grisham, with you sending him, remember at the time, the Nationals game, Josh Hader, they get a hit off him and Grisham makes the error in right. And we're all like, oh no, is this going to be like a defining play of this guy's career? When we go through the litany of Wisconsin heartbreak, nobody ever mentions the Trent Grisham thing. And if you mention that game, you talk about how Josh Hader gave up a bunch of runs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even talk about Trent Grisham. So to let him go for this bad return. And I didn't like the trade at the time, but you can't not like trades at the time in this state because you have to always give the team the benefit of the doubt. I have realized. I just think that it's a huge mistake. So if we're going to talk prospects, we got to bring him up too.
We do. Tyrone Taylor is one. And I'm not saying, guys, that none of these guys will work out. You know, the Lucas Ursags and some of these Bryce Terangs and things like that. I'm not saying they won't, but I'm just saying, just as a whole, imagine with some young up-and-comers that really were a Keston Hira. Just give us one more. I mean, when you think about Orlando Arcia, when he came up, that was sort of melodramatic, was it not? He was, I think he peaked at the sixth overall prospect in all of baseball. At that time, did he turn out to be? He's don't get me wrong, a solid major league shortstop, and I think you could do a hell of a lot worse than Arcia at short. But I wouldn't touch shortstop. Leave him be. What more do you want out of the shortstop position? Leave him be. He's fine. You're screwing around with Urias over there. There's nothing wrong with depth. They're going to be the first to tell you that. I sort of agree with getting him additional reps, Urias at shortstop, because, yeah, I agree. Maybe it's a trade platform, a display, if you will, but I don't see why the organization – it just seems to me that they're sort of indifferent on Orlando Arcia, and I don't agree with that.
Yeah, and every time it looks like Orlando's about to get moved on from or, it's not going to work out, he has, like, the greatest 2 weeks of his career.
Yeah, finished strong. Look at him. He batted .277 down the stretch in his final 22 games. And it's things like that. It's based on your expectations. If they want more thump out of a shortstop position, well, then that's their deal. But I only know this, that I think his defensive skills need to actually improve. I mean, he can make the spectacular play.
Yeah,
he did. And you know, it's just sort of the normal play that he has a little bump in the road, but I'd leave Orlando alone.
You know, one part about rooting for a baseball team for so long is one of the cool moments is when you have this heralded prospect come up for the first time. We haven't had that in a while. Like Braun, did he come up against the Padres? And then he hit a home run within the series. Fielder, I remember, was against the Rays. I remember the exact apartment I was watching it in La Crosse. Right off of Vine Street. I remember these moments when the prospect comes up for the first time. It's such a great thing. I don't know when the last time that was for the Brewers. And Corey Ray, you're right. I mean, Council the other day, we brought this up because of Jackie Bradley Jr., free agent, these rumors. We brought this up the other day. Council starts naming guys that would play center after Kane. And he mentions Avi Garcia, who lost like 30 pounds. Then he mentioned Billy McKinney, who I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know who that is. Okay. And then he mentioned another guy, Derek Fisher, never heard of him. And I'm disclaimer for the new audience. If I don't know a guy, that means that's something wrong. Cause we haven't done an official survey, know more about sports than anybody in this market.
Well, you haven't been listening to Brewers News and Notes then.
Besides Horvat.
Keep you up to speed on all that stuff.
Yeah, but Billy McKinney I missed on. I thought he was that guy that is like on Queer Eye or something. What's that guy's name? Billy something. Whatever. You know who I'm thinking of. No, you don't, probably.
No, no idea.
But then he finally got to Corey Ray. So he counts off the top of his head, thinking of center fielders. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. He's thinking of Derek Fisher before he thinks of Corey Ray. This is now or never for Corey Ray.
Well, it has to be. I mean, this again, one of the selections that year, and that's what again. I'll just circle right back to, you know, how well they're doing despite not getting any help from underneath. And people say, well, the farm system is depleted, and he just moved everybody out. Guys, there wasn't a tremendous amount of talent to begin with. I mean, we went through years and years and years of the pitching draft choices that just did not work out. Top five, top 10 rounds, that these pitchers were nowhere. What do we get? We get a Giovanni here and there. We get a little Ben Sheets, we get, and then it's just nothing. It's Taylor Youngmans and Dylan Coveys and just Jed Bradleys and just blowing up in their face on the pitching side. Well, they remedy that, and they do have some young arms here. Rasmussen is one, and obviously Woody and Burns, homegrown stuff, but that is really kind of handcuffing these guys to force them almost, Bart, to not only sign a Abisail Garcia, which I believe is a good signing, but then after that, you're going to have to scrape into to the budget bin for a Billy McKinney, for a Derek Fisher, even for a Ben Gamel to a degree, where you're trying to, you know, catch that lightning in a bottle where some other organization failed to really make up for inept drafting. It might be a little strong word, but maybe the failure in drafting position players, it's pretty eminent right here. And that's why I will give all the credit in the world for three playoff appearances despite getting no help from the position side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they made the playoffs three straight years. That's like a dream.
It's one of, I believe, only six other teams have done that.
I mean, when I was watching this team in 92, the team I really fell in love with, and only, what, two teams made the playoffs? Because there were two divisions, and it was the Blue Jays. They couldn't catch the Blue Jays.
Yep, yeah.
You tell me then that the Brewers are going to make the playoffs three straight years. I'd say, yeah, only if they expand the playoffs and get in with a losing record someday. But it still happened. It still happened, and it's still cool. What I also think is cool is that Travis Shaw is back, and I really hope it works out for him. And I hope it works out for the Brewers. Because he had two good years. Then he had a year that was a disaster. The way they left wasn't great. Council and Shaw have been, you know, they've stayed in touch. And Travis Shaw, you know, he's put that behind him. Council said that as much yesterday when he was talking. I want that to be the third baseman. I want to see, and maybe it's a platoon, but whatever. But I want to see Travis Shaw make this team.
That is, I think, one of the fan favorites going forward. You talk about what are you rooting for, what do you want to see, what would make you happy, et cetera, et cetera. Travis Shaw is probably at toward the top of that list, if not at the top of that list, in this year's kind of, you know, adorable special stories. And I'm with you. I like Travis Shaw, the Kent State product. He well documented that had a few problems in Boston, and when he comes over here, he's, you know, given the reins a little bit and allowing to grow a little bit. He has a 3,100 season. He follows that up with a 30 homer, 86 RBI season. Real integral part of the Brewers at that time. And then it was tough to watch him play baseball, Bart. It was really tough, and you hate that side of things as well. You hate to see, you know, players on any team, but let alone our favorite team, really look bad. And he'll admit that. I think everyone has to admit that. And that's the eye test. Just look at what he was swinging at that time. I honestly felt bad for him. If you can feel bad for a guy making millions of dollars to play a game, I was doing it. Because it was pretty sad to see.
Makes more than $1 million, I no longer think of them as humans. Well, okay. With no emotion or feelings.
But it was really rough to watch Travis
That's
Shaw. And you kept thinking at that time, well, this is today's the day. He's going to break out of it. And it consistently was up there with two on and only one out, or runners at second and third and nobody out, and just whiff after whiff after whiff. It was sad to see. So now he's, you know, he probably had a reckoning with himself, Bart, a little bit. He does have a little attitude to him, and I think that's going to help moving forward, but I don't know if it's tail between the legs, crawling back to Milwaukee on this type of deal, but I think we're all rooting for him for sure.
Definitely are. Tim Allen's joining us, Rami and Tim, and soon back for the post-game show, which I'm very excited about. And I'm so excited about this team, I may even join you on some days.
Okay.
If you'll have
me. More than
me.
Welcome. Open arms. Yeah, 16 years of this. Really honored for that. As we look at, you know, the landscape of radio, and our audience knows what the deal is. They know. They know they've got choices. They know there's other parallels to the sports thing that we do. And you know, just to have a constant for once, no shifting around, and everyone's playing games with your favorite radio show, and you know, something that you're used to, and something that you come out of the ballpark and you're fired up or you're pissed about a game. That's been 16 years of just hanging out and going through those emotions and having some fun, and pretty honored when you think about it to last this long at you know, one show, really. I would say one station, and it is one station, but you know, to do one show like that, look at Rami. I mean, look at you, Bart. I mean, you just, years are starting to stack up for you, but Rami, radio changes and you got to make your moves, and so it's rare, and I'm happy to be right in the middle of that.
You know what surprised me that I was more offended by? If someone like tweets me or whatever and says, Bart, I don't listen to you, I listen to this, whatever. People have, I guess this is good. I did an episode of Locked On Packers, the podcast,
mm-hmm.
and people are tweeting me during the show that they're listening to me on Locked On Packers.
So you're being ousted by you.
Yeah. I'm losing to me.
That's right.
Like, part of the deal is I'll go on podcast. We put everything on podcast. You got to listen to me live sometimes, homie. Okay. That's just part of how this works. But it was a good, I understand why they did it. I was phenomenal on the podcast.
Were you?
I really was. I was explaining, and Peter Bukowski let me very well explain why I hated the Packers draft pick in a nice flowing conversation. So do listen to that. I'm told that the podcast is actually broken right now, and you can't listen to it again till 10. So not until 10. Not right now.
That's right. Okay.
But until 10 o'clock. So one thing that I saw last night was all these people on Twitter, and I don't know if you caught this yet, but there's Josh Hader Padre rumors, and then I tried to dig in where the source was from, and there is no source. And so I don't know where this is coming from, but it made me realize 2-3 weeks ago, I would have been on board with trading Josh Hader because I didn't think that you were going to be anything this season, and you know, rebuild for when you are. It's a pandemic season, or at least coming back from one, and you will sell out the stadium. If you have 35%, you'll be able to sell that out every night. You don't need to have a winning product for people to want to go to the baseball stadium right now. But now that I saw these rumors, and there's nothing to them, it's just people talking, I was like, no, don't trade them. I want to be good now. So I've completely changed my point of view on the Brewers in 3 weeks.
I think a lot of people are coming to the reckoning, if you will, with themselves, both nationally and locally, that once you do dig into the nuts and bolts of this team, you start looking at specific players and you say, wow, okay, that check that box, I guess. And then you get to the next guy and you say, okay, there's another, you know, a baseball rat or a D in the dirt type player. Okay, there's another one. And then you come to the realization, and that's why we're seeing some of these projections being as decent or respectful as they are, Bart, because, you know, you said 85 wins. Okay, 85 wins, you're just a couple of good things going right from a 90-win team. That's the way I look at that. You're just a couple of bounce backs or a couple of things. You could say that about a lot of teams, but no, this team has the foundational talent there to where you're going to run these guys out there, and it looks good. Again, we have to remember this was a 60-game season last year, and you just simply cannot gauge any projections based on that alone. You can't do that, guys. You can't, because it's just not fair. There was too many dynamics that were different from creatures of habit, and baseball players are the superstitious creatures of habit that have to have things this one way or it will affect them, and it did affect a vast majority of this league. Baseball was screwed up last year. It was. So you break down an Avisail Garcia. How does he go from, I don't know, right around 275, 280 to nothing? You explain that to me. You explain Christian Yelich going from a two-time batting champion to a 205 hitter. Please. Don't tell me that didn't have anything to do with it last year. So you have to go to the year prior and the couple of years prior to that on the back of their baseball card. And we see that Omar Narvaez is not going to bat 176, folks. He's not. It's not happening. You don't go from 278 to 176. You just don't do that without something happening in there. And then you add a Colton Wong. Now the question for me would be, biggest question for me, Bart, is Adrian Hauser and the third base position. It's still
what about Kesson
the
at
two
first?
Biggest. You know what? They've had how many different first basemen since Prince Fielder left in 11? I think every single year it's been a new first baseman.
Remember Mark Reynolds?
Yeah, I don't think he started opening day though. Did he?
Oh no, I was just remembering. But a guy
he was
I didn't
one.
Like. Yeah.
Yep. Adam Lind was in there.
Oh yeah.
Hell, Alex Gonzalez started at first base opening day one year after Prince left. I mean, he had a middle infielder. Okay, so is he a question? Yeah, Keston Hira. Yes, I think he is, and we need to keep our eyes on that for sure. But, you know, this bat to ball skills that you've heard of, it's barrel to ball skills for Keston Hira. Just watch. He'll bounce. It's same deal. He's not going to bat 212. Not happening. Now, will there be trips to Hollywood? I cringe a little bit in envisioning a little tapper to the right side where Keston Hira is charging. It's a little bouncer, a little chest-high bouncer. I cringe a little bit when there's a ground ball to the right side where he's got to make that decision. Oh, am I going to take it? And then the second baseman, is he going to come, you know, the back door, is he going to cover first? Is the pitcher coming over? Look out. You know, all of those things. He's got to learn all those things. Not the super easy position, maybe a little bit easier than other positions. It doesn't scare me all that much. The deal with him, Bart, as you know, it wasn't necessarily the glove. And the glove, yeah, you know, it's only a year and a half in the big leagues. Let's face it. It was the arm. That's the problem I had with Keston Hira. And whether or not that elbow issue coming out of Cal Irvine was a catalyst of this, I'm not sure. But throwing the ball over to first was a huge... How do you spike it into the dirt from 32 feet away, Keston? I mean, I mean, you can't be doing that on any regular basis. So this is definitely going to help out. I think it's a good risk. You keep a good bat in the lineup. And offensively, again, every team has the ifs, Bart. We get it. I look at more of what's the mean. Would just give me what they normally would do, and fans are going to have a ton of fun with this offense.
I want to play a clip from Colton Wong. It's very short. He was asked about his previous success hitting in Milwaukee, and he first said Miller Park, and then he renamed what the stadium's called. Did you hear this yet?
Not yet, no. Right.
Here's this Colton Wong.
All right, Miller Park, you kind of, or, you know, Family First Field, you kind of have.
Family First Field is what Miller Park is now called. We got Tim Allen, we got Rami Makhlouf in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios.
I think we should just call it Family First Field from now on.
I would like to do that.
I think it has a new name.
Tim, how long do you want to be on the air today? Do you want to be? I don't know if you and Rami still want to like talk to each other before the show.
I can't stand Tim off the air. We do not talk other than 2 to 6.
Because if you guys don't know, I'm commercial free till 10.
Really?
Yeah. And if one of you leave, it's fine. But if both of you leave,
you never mention that. That's something you should promote. That's something you should make. You probably want the listeners to know.
We're commercial free.
Commercial free.
Yeah. For a talk station.
Wow.
Hmm.
It's impressive.
So one thing I realized was...
You're right over there?
Oh, was that, huh? One thing I realized as a pet peeve, Tim, is David Stearns with Miller Park, they were asked about, you know, Colton's hit well here. He goes, yeah, when we noticed his stats at American Family Field, we noticed that it was never called American Family Field until this year. Colton Wong has never hit at American Family Field. He has hit at Miller Park, okay? I've gone to bachelor parties. I've watched soccer games. I've covered the team at Miller Park.
Now, you bring up an interesting point.
I've never done anything in American Family
when
Field.
When referring to events in the past that have occurred at the now American Family Field, or Family First Field, sorry.
Yeah.
Do we refer to it with its previous name, or do we refer to it with its now current name of Family First Field?
Oh, I think for Miller, what American Family
did Miller Park pay for? Did the Miller Brewing Company pay for the memories? Is what I'm asking.
American
I guess.
Family didn't. You don't just get to rename it.
But are memories included in the contract?
Oh, I would have to think so.
Do they have rights to everything that happened there in perpetuity?
Yeah, I would say.
How about we just say at home?
Well, no, because
that wasn't home
in
for
his career
Wong.
In Milwaukee. In his career in Milwaukee.
But that then, does save us then, some confusion, but then we don't have this fun conversation.
Yeah. Money, yeah.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
And that's what about Old it. County Stadium? They get kicked to the curb? I mean, come on.
It's a different building. I think that people surprisingly got on board with Fiserv Forum a lot quicker than I thought. But it's a different building.
Well, they didn't have a choice. Like, it never had a name before that. The only thing you had to bitch about was the roof was too white.
Which now, did you see? I was going to text you or tweet you the other day because they showed an overhead at night with the Fiserv logo.
Wow.
And it looked good.
That really enhanced the experience for me.
It looked good.
I was so happy when I saw that.
And they do aerials for a reason. You can't just have nothing up there. I'm glad that they got that figured out.
I'm sure Fiserv is too.
So what do you think, Tim? What are we calling what happened when Nigel Morgan hit that one up the middle? Was that at American Family Field or was that at Miller Park?
Or Family First Field.
Family First Field. Was that Miller Park?
Yeah, I guess.
Or at Miller Park, you kind of, or, you know, Family First Field, you kind of have.
See, Colton, you guys know when interviewing someone, if you don't know, just don't say it.
Do you think that they are telling the players, like, it's not Miller Park anymore? When you refer to the stadium in front of microphones, it's American Family Field.
I hadn't thought about it too much, Bart. So you bring it to light. I guess it's just, you know, back in 2018 at home here in Game 7 of the NLCS against the Dodgers.
So now you won't even.
Is that okay? Just
no,
at home
that's
here?
Worse because now you won't say either name.
Well, I'm not going to make it a point to even think too much into it.
Bart, are you one of these people who's upset that it's not Miller Park anymore?
No, I really don't care. But again, this is a commercial-free hour.
Oh, stop.
Everything is a topic.
I got to work out yet. I got to be on a station in Seattle.
Seattle? So, what are you doing in Seattle?
They've been going to me for many years.
For what?
They're Wisconsin, whatever.
Why do they
I think
care?
They want to talk. Green Bay Packers, I think, is
right now?
What I was texted, yes.
You know, I do find that, Tim, you can go at any time. What's your plan?
No, I'm good. We'll hang out here.
I find that interesting that sometimes I'll come on other stations as like, well, what's going on in Wisconsin? Let's talk to a guy. I get that the Mariners thing is a story, but I'm not having someone from Seattle on. Even Super Bowl week, I didn't have anyone from Tampa on. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of connection between the Rodgers deal
or maybe Kelenic.
Russell Wilson, Kelenic. I guess maybe. Yeah, that's a possibility.
So, Tim, the real question is, do you think that Spanish players should be forced to learn English when they first get here?
Wow. Rami and I talked about that yesterday. It's just pretty pathetic. It really is.
Yeah. It's just a ridiculous. I said on the air, I'm not surprised that he's an awful person. Plenty of awful people in this world. Just how dumb he is to get to the heights that he got in his profession, Barton, to still be dumb enough to say those things into a camera and a microphone in 2021, knowing what we know and how a career can be totally derailed by saying dumb things into cameras and microphones, that guys as successful as he is are still doing that and are saying the thing out loud that they should not be saying out loud is crazy to me. That's the part of it I can't wrap my head around every time we have one of these stories.
I think if I could change 10 things about America, mm-hmm. one of the things in my
go
top...
through all 10.
One of the things
I want to hear all 10.
One of the things, just one. I'll give you one.
Oh, God.
One of the things in my top 10 would be that we don't think of English as the supreme language. I mean, it's not even named after us. It's England.
I mean, as somebody who grew up not speaking, I didn't speak English till I was like 6 or 7 years old. I'm cool with that.
Wow.
I'll take up that cause with you, Bart.
Like, I'm trying to learn Spanish a little bit, okay, but...
I gave up on that a long time
ago. I don't have to.
There's far more important things to worry about than a communication gap when someone doesn't speak English or I don't speak Spanish. Can we worry about something else that really matters? I mean, that doesn't really... So it's a little communication bump in the road. Big deal. Figure it out.
Well, because then the Mariners have to pay $75,000 to a translator.
My goodness. It continues to get worse. I remember... Funny story. I think it's quite challenging. I told Rami this story on the air the other day that when I've had to interview Bart, have you interviewed anyone through an interpreter?
No, I avoid them because I only speak English.
Okay, well, I didn't, and I wanted to, and I did a little studying before I went into these interviews. I can't remember if it was Takashi Saito or, you know, somebody. And, you interview, most people will talk to the interpreter. It's like the player didn't even matter. You know, you're talking, no, I focused in on the player. So that part of it was, to me, was easy. That's communicating. That is utilizing a resource right there. However, Gene Segura as a, I'm sorry, Rami.
John Segura.
Yes. As a super young prospect when they first acquired him. I was in the Maryvale complex. Now, is that okay? Because at that time it was Maryvale.
Now it's American Family Field.
Fields of Phoenix, right. Yeah. So, but anyway, I'm standing there talking to someone. And
how about the stadium previously known as?
There you go.
What if we do that every time we talk about past events at these stadiums that have been renamed?
That works for me.
The stadium previously known as. All right. I like it.
I get a tap on the back, and the player said, "Excuse me." And he was just trying to get through to his locker. And, you know, I'm like, "Oh, who is that?" Because they didn't have the number on. He didn't have his jersey on. And I'm like, you know, the producer, "Who is that?" "Oh, that's Gene Segura." "What? Let's go over. Let's get a few words." Based on the fact that he said, "Excuse me," I figured I didn't double check with the PR department. How's his English? Is it good one-on-one? Do we need an interpreter? Go through all the protocol. I sit down with him, and we have no idea what we're saying to each other. I mean, it was like right after the first question, I'm like, "Oh my God, this will never be aired. We will never put this on the radio because, you know, we just did. I make a big deal out of it? Did I? That was a little, tiny little thing. I mean, that's why this Seattle Mariner thing. Why do you make this such a huge deal? It's not that big of a deal. So I don't speak Spanish. He doesn't speak English. Okay, we'll live another day. We'll rectify this the next time. My Spanish will get better, or his English will get better, and we'll all live on, or we'll go through the interpreter." What are we wasting time on this for?
Well, I hope you learned your lesson, because, like, one word I know in German is Entschuldigung, which means excuse me. It's just one of the... So he probably knew that phrase.
He did, yes.
But then didn't know anything else.
That's my fault, so...
While we're talking about bad interviews, I played this a couple weeks ago, but I'd like to play it for you guys. The worst interview I've ever done in the clubhouse with Chase Utley.
Okay.
Have I ever told you about this?
No.
I thought you were about to play it. I got real excited. Oh, you
no,
are?
I would
Ooh,
ask.
Yeah, nice. Oh, nice.
I would ask Rami if he's ever done a bad interview.
No, I will tell you. No, I have, Tim.
Okay,
I have.
Good.
I don't know if I've ever told you guys. I don't know if it's
at
gone.
At the ballpark?
No, not at the ballpark.
Yeah,
this
no
was,
way.
This was over the, no, not extra. At the ballpark. I don't go to the ballpark to do work. No, man, that ain't me. No, but the audio doesn't exist because I deleted it as soon as I hit stop on the interview. It was Gary Bababui Delabate of the Howard Stern Show. I got the chance to interview him, and I was so nervous, I literally choked. Like, my throat closed up, and I choked, and I ended the interview after, like, I had no hosting or interviewing experience at the time whatsoever.
Okay, how'd you get him?
I was producing The Big Show. I had just started producing The Big Show. That was my first kind of full-time gig in the business, and he was doing his book tour after his book, I Am Bababui, and, he was doing the interviews. He was doing the interview rounds, you know, various radio shows around the country. And Vernier, Josh Vernier, who was the host of The Big Show at the time, he came to me and he was like, "Hey, We could get Baba Booey from the Howard Stern Show. I know you're a big fan. He doesn't really fit what we do on the air, but if you want to interview him, and if it's good, we'll play it on the air. Maybe there's a soundbite we can play on the air, and either way, we can just put it on the website. I was like, yeah, hell yeah, man. I don't have any interviewing or hosting experience whatsoever. So I thought, yeah, I'll just go in and turn on the mic and hit record and start doing this thing. And as soon as the interview started, I just completely locked up and choked, literally choked. My throat closed up over the course of 3 or 4 minutes that I just said thank you for the time. This has been great, and hung up the phone.
Oh, geez.
And hit, I did and that hit, once with Matt LaPay. I got nervous to talk to Matt LaPay.
See, oh, I don't get that. But Baba Booey, come on. And I just hit delete. As soon as I hung up and hit stop on the interview, just hit delete. I didn't want that to live. Now I regret that because it was so bad. It was probably good. But at the time, I didn't want that to live anywhere.
So do we get audio on Utley?
Yeah, I got it for you. Now, I'm pretty sure there's not a swear in it, but I'm going to take that risk. Because we played it a couple weeks ago. It was clean, I believe.
This goes down as your worst interview?
I would say it's definitely top three because there's a lot that I could have done better. But you know, these interviews, it's hard being in there. It's hard being in that locker room. There's other guys right there. They're like listening. You're nervous. Mm-hmm. It's weird. So it is hard. So this is not my best work for sure. And because I'm so much better and talented now, I'd have no problem playing it. I won't be offended. But the other voices you will hear. Bart, I thought it was a one-on-one. It is. But the other voices you will hear are Adrian Gonzalez and Scott Van Slyke, who are at a table very close to me. And I'll try to remember at what point the paper airplane got thrown at my face from one of the two. So here is the interview. It's remember Chase Utley slid into Wilmer Flores, I think it was, in the playoffs.
Yes.
And it was very dirty.
Yeah.
And so the Brewers had a play like that, and we all called it the Chase Utley rule. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask him, like, you're trying to get past this, but they call it the Chase Utley rule. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he wanted to answer that question.
Well, again, a lot I could have done better.
And Chase Utley's a really just down-to-earth, nice, agreeable guy.
He had a smirk of like, this kid is in some mess right now. This is funny. All right, so here it is, about 2 minutes. I'll stop it if there's a reason to, but...
Well, stop it when the airplane hits your face, when the paper airplane hits your face.
There's no audio to that, so I don't remember at what moment.
Okay, all right.
But then I'll tell you the exchange I had after as well.
All right, guys, Bart Winkler down in the Dodgers clubhouse with Chase Utley. Chase, you guys competing for the wild card so far this season, good season. When does it start to get into, like, playoff mode where you realize that every game there's more, a little more pressure? Does that happen?
All right, so clearly to start.
So far, so good.
This is a terrible interview.
No, but your voice is a little high, so I can tell you're a little nervous.
It gets lower through your radio
How long ago was this?
You ever hear Howard Stern's first couple of years on the air?
Yeah.
He sounds like this, you know?
Yeah.
WNBC.
Because he was trying to do a radio voice early in his career. Is that right. What you were trying to do there?
No, but your voice deepens over time.
Okay. I mean, how long ago was this?
2016, 17?
Your voice has deepened that much in 3 years, 4 years.
Well, I haven't noticed.
Okay, so far, so good.
Yeah. All right, but I'm clearly asking a dumb question to get it out of the way.
Right.
To then ask the reason.
This is the warm up. This is the warm up.
Yes.
A little
yes.
foreplay. Yes. Yeah.
After the All Star break, now, or do you not even think about it for a while?
I mean, to be honest, you try to play every game the same way. Obviously, there's more attention once it gets later in the season, but as a player, I think you're trying to win as many games as possible, whether that's in September or April.
All right, so one question in the books.
So here's a warning flare. Whenever the player talks soft, I will tell you that he's a little tentative as well, because he doesn't want necessarily his teammates to get there. So I get this whole thing, and I don't know if you guys remember the olden days of being in the clubhouse. It was...
Mm-hmm.
We're here in the Brewers Clubhouse with
second baseman Fernando Vina.
Yeah.
Okay. Some people still
Tim
do
used
that.
To get so mad
when we just be, talk.
When
it's
we
all right.
Be in the clubhouse and people are conducting interviews like they're in a library.
Well, I know that. It's a weird setting. You guys, people need to understand. It is a weird setting. You walk in. There's players sitting around. Nobody wants to talk to you. And I don't think we go back to this, dude. I think it's Zoom for a long time.
I would tend to lean that way also, Bart. And last year when we got thrown out of the complex at Maryvale, I said the same thing. I said this, you know, Braun walked by with a big smile on his face. Adam took exception to this. And I wasn't saying that Brawny was being real super negative. But I just, I hadn't seen Bronny that happy because he sees all the media guys corralled and no more access. Zero access. You're not going to get at us. And Bronny's walking by, the big smile on his face. How you doing, fellas? Like we're in the petting zoo over here.
Yeah,
but I agree with
weird.
You.
It's weird. It's meat market-esque where you walk in and you're like, which of these men am I going to choose? But none of them want to be chosen. And as soon as you start to approach it, all of a sudden this guy gets up, goes, takes a shower. Rami wouldn't know because he never does this.
I've been down there,
because
all right?
Rami, somehow, Tim, and I'm very jealous of this, well, Rami makes it look cool to be a bad employee.
No,
I don't
what?
Know how he's been able to pull that off.
That's not true. No, I've been down there. I used to go to spring training every year with Tim Allen and go down in the clubhouse. During
totally. Spring training's totally different.
It's a little bit different.
It's a very loose vibe. It's a clubhouse on a Wednesday
man,
in June.
I host an afternoon show. When am I going to go down in the clubhouse? I host an afternoon show.
Weekends, bro.
I need my weekends off.
Oh. Yeah.
Also, I was hosting Fantasy Football Weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Sundays, right. 10 to noon.
All right,
you see?
Back to Chase. So now I'm going to come with it, and you're going to hear Adrian Gonzalez and Andy Van Slyke.
Can I not turn this mic off to clear my throat?
You cannot. We have many things you need to send in tickets for. So once you learn how to do that, right. What? Let out a big one. I'm off. Thank you. All right. Ready? We resume.
Now, the Brewers have been in a couple situations in this Chase Utley rule. Now, there's a
rule.
So
young.
That I don't know if it's named after you technically, but.
Who is that kid?
You're associated with it. Uh-oh. I mean, are you going to look back on your
so
career and
year,
say.
Buddy. Did you hear that?
Yep.
So yep. Now.
Oh, man.
In the
you're in trouble now.
Oh, man.
I get a so last year, buddy.
Wow.
And then more heckling will resume.
I mean, are you going to look back on your career and say, that's great that there's a rule after me or no?
Something that I've moved on from. Obviously, it's unfortunate that that shortstop was injured, but it was an aggressive slide in a playoff game, and that was that. So it is what it is.
One thing that the situation last year has done is created more instances with instant replay. Now we're dissecting every single play. To the latest frame
you
that we can.
Just got off.
Has that been good
yeah,
for
he's
me?
Gonna stay with this
but
line.
But Chase gave me the answer.
He did. Yeah, he did.
He laughed.
He did.
Clearly,
he didn't bristle.
I think right around here is when the airplane grazed my face. Because I was in mid question and I just ignored it. I mean,
awesome.
I ignored it. So this is there's like 10 more seconds.
I've told you before you should do stand up comedy. You would, I mean, you just plow right through hecklers, man. This is
just
another. This,
right
is, this is another sign that you should be doing stand-up comedy.
Although I will tell you, if I'm on the air and I have Twitter open and there's one thing like, "Oh, Bart sucks," it will end my segment. I will clutch and die.
Yes.
Right in the middle of the segment. Kills. Let me just finish this out for posterity.
They've implemented replay over the past few years, and I think it's helped in some instances. Obviously, the game drags on a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's about getting the call right.
How much different has that made baseball since you got into the league?
It's changed it a bit. Obviously, there's no more, fake tags or things like that. But in general, I think getting the play right is the best thing.
All right, so he finished.
Yeah.
I plowed through and he finished. And then afterwards, so I end the recording. I say, thanks, Chase. I just, I basically, without saying it, I try to tell him, I'm just some schmuck that really, when you do these on-deck shows, the weight of the world is on you to get an eye on the enemy for some reason. That I never understood.
Well, it's not that difficult.
Tim, getting an interview from the opposing team, it ruins your whole flow down there, your schedule. Their locker room's only open for a little bit. You got to find someone that you got to all of a sudden get familiar with. I mean, one time I walked up to Jordan Pacheco, and I go, can I talk to you with a fan in Milwaukee? He goes, he honestly said, why do you want to talk to me? Because he was a logger in like 2011 or something stupid. And I found a local tie-in. So then after I'm done talking to Chase, I basically said, I'm some schmuck you'll never see again. I'm sorry I had to do this. I said it in a much more timid way.
Hey, guys, I got to go with Spectrum Dudes at my house.
Yeah, I figured that would happen.
See ya.
So then
it's all right.
I'm walking back to the field. Rami. I'm just finishing the story real quick. So I'm walking back to the field. I'm walking out of the locker room, and I look at Adrian, and I look at Van Slyke, and I go, guys, that was kind of rude.
You did not.
Yeah. And then they go, well, ask better questions, man. And
true. Like,
and then I go, I'm just trying to do my job. And they go, well, you're doing terrible at it. And then I said, good luck tonight, guys. And they go, ooh.
Wow. I never heard this story, Bart. That's impressive. I like it. Yeah.
Loud through.
We've all done bad interviews. I mean, it happens. I mean, Ben Gamel is not the easiest kid to interview. He's really not. And that was a bad one, never to be heard. So there's been some bad ones. Paul Molitor was one that I got super nervous. But it was back in 93. So he helped me out. But Bart, this whole you and your former broadcast partner there. I don't know where you got this groundswell that this I and the Enemy interview. I remember this, and I was fighting against you guys. I'm like, do your job. You are to go in there and get an I on the Enemy for our pregame show. I don't care if it's a broadcaster. I don't care if it's a coach. I don't care if it's a reliever, a prospect call-up, the manager, whoever you can get. And you guys always took the easy way out. Nope, it's too busy. The clubhouse wasn't open. All these... Yeah, so.
But that would be the case a lot of times. And then sometimes,
almost
like,
never.
Joe Madden, so I couldn't get a Cub, so then Joe Madden's talking, and he doesn't talk till 5:30, and the show starts at 6. So I try to get in this scrum, and of course it's the Cubs, so there's 300 people there. And then you got Madden trying to talk, and some kid walks up next to Gordon Whitmire, and he's starting calling him an a-ho, and I'm trying to record this press conference. So now I got to edit the press conference before I send it back. Also, you can have your precious 6 minutes of Joe Madden that nobody's listening to anyway because the radio's faintly on in the background when they're tailgating.
There's the infamous Joey Votto and myself getting into it a little bit. So that never made the air. We never played that one because he was, oh, man, this dude was a jackass. He was. And he knew it, and I knew it, and everyone knew it. But I didn't back down from him. I like you, Bart. I'm pretty proud of you, you know, for going back at those Dodgers.
All I told him was good luck tonight.
And I'm just trying to do my job. It's probably the way you said it.
Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, you know, your adrenaline's charged, and you know, you're clearly outnumbered.
I mean, you're not going to get Jared Hughes every time you go in there.
Right.
an interview. Because there were certain go-to guys on that on-deck show that everybody who did pregame, we call it, who's doing pregame? Who's doing
Colin
pregame?
Walsh.
Colin Walsh.
Yep.
There's always the go-to guys with guys like you and Chuck and Joe and everyone who went down there.
That's why I liked, and that's why I'm glad Shaw's back. I like talking to Shaw. He just was honest and open.
Yeah.
He said, look, I deserve more playing time. I got to get it. And I, you know, second, I don't want to play second, but we'll see. And Zach Davies, I thought was great, too. I talked to Zach Davies once after he got demoted down to AAA during the All-Star break, basically just as a way to save money. And he was pissed. And so I appreciate them giving me that, you know.
Did Rami leave?
Yeah, Rami left. He had to go Spectrum.
Oh, okay, I was waiting for Rami to insert his subject matter.
You would have heard him laugh at something that wasn't funny within the last 3 minutes.
Okay, and that's something, guys, I will say this, heading into this Brewers season, again, not being in Arizona this year because You know, I guess there's an outside shot I may fly out, Bart, for a couple days, just to keep the routine going. That hasn't been taken off the table yet for me. So, and not that we're going to be able to go face to face, and understandably so, but you know, this being connected is something I'm going to be really missing this year, and getting to, you know, further know some of these guys, introducing to the younger prospects and things like that. I'm going to miss that, bringing that to the audience. And I mean that, Bart, bringing that sort of inside scoop. I'm going to miss that. And I think, our Brewer family here on the post game show each and every summer, I think they're going to miss that too, because it's a little insight from the players that aren't just this cookie cutter flagship, let's play X's and O's. It's a little more on the personal side. It's a little more on the fun side. And I number one, will miss it. No question. And I think the audience, to a degree, will miss that aspect. Now, does the Zoom provide more opportunities to us, Bart? And I think that's what you alluded to, that Zoom is here to stay. Maybe. Maybe, because it was quicker in the turnaround on post game shows. That, boy, we had Craig Counsell right away. I mean, it was almost immediate. We had a couple of players right away, and that was almost immediate. So in some regards, there's a bonus, but you know, from a personal, you know, hardcore, just I love the Brewer standpoint, I think we're all going to miss that one-on-one thing.
Tim, you'll join me throughout the season on Wednesdays. Thank you for spending a full hour with me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I love the Utley thing.
Yeah.
I really do, maybe.
Oh, I'll replay it in the 6 o'clock hour at some point next week, Sam. Just be aware of that. That's coming.
So
it was funny.
It very funny. And it shows that you don't mind ripping on yourself. That's pretty cool too. But I understand that I'm gonna be scheduled here on Wednesdays at 9 throughout the baseball season, right?
Yeah, we're gonna have you on Wednesdays at 9.
Okay.
Throughout the season. And we will, if you're, you know, someday might be a quick turnaround after a late West Coast post gamer.
I got it. It's radio. Folks, do not let radio people tell you this. Do not let them snow job you on this. It's not that tough. Sorry, Bart.
No, it's, I go home really at 10 and I take a nap. And
it's really not that
tough. And I watch games at night, and it's a pretty easy life.
Well, Bart,
I don't get paid any money. I mean, that's part of also the trade-off.
Well, we pay for a little fun in life, and yeah, professionally and personally. We always have to pay.
Have a good day, my friend.
You too, Bart.
I appreciate your time. Tim Allen joining us. Rami Makhlouf. Rami and Tim later today. Those two crazy cats. 4 more hours with them. The Big Show coming up 2 to 6. We're back tomorrow at 5 on The Fan.